Welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Marty Lurie and Bill Lasky. My name is Carrie Crowley, and it's my pleasure to welcome in our next guest. She covers all of Major League Baseball for the league. She's a reporter and researcher. Sarah Langs, one of the great Twitter follows in all of the sport, at Slangs on Sports. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us, and happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the birthday wishes and for the kind words and for having me. It's great to come on here and chat baseball with you, so thank you.
Well, we're really looking forward to it. And I wanted to get your perspective as a national reporter, someone who covers all 30 teams. Were the Giants, to you, as big of a surprise as they were to everyone in the Bay Area during the month of April, finishing with the best record in the National League West and with a dominant pitching rotation that really carried this staff and this team through what was a much better month than everyone around here anticipated?
Absolutely. I mean, I would say whatever surprise you guys have felt in the Bay Area is probably amplified outside of it, because I would say that you covering the team and anyone who is a Giants fan and is aware of what the team is doing, what Farhan Zaidi has been doing and sort of the plan there, maybe there was a little bit less surprise, because I really felt like the moves that he made in the offseason, especially the pitching acquisitions, which you made reference to, they felt very pointed, very specific types of pitchers, types of guys. And I would think that someone who is more embedded within the team and just within all of those moves, maybe a little bit less surprised. But I would say nationally, I mean, a lot of people who I work with know my mother is a Giants fan, and I certainly follow the team a lot. And a lot of people have certainly been reaching out to me over the last, especially 2 or 3 weeks, saying, wow, the Giants, they're really doing this right now. But it's been great to see. You know, I'm not sure. I do think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, though they are not playing like it right now whatsoever. But it's really encouraging to see what's happened for the Giants so far.
So if your mother was a big Giants fan, did you grow up a big Giants fan? Or are you someone who's followed the history of the team? And was this the team you grew up with?
Well, I sort of grew up with two teams. You know, I don't root anymore, but I grew up in New York. So my father is a Mets fan, and so I more grew up with the Mets. But I have been, since the time I was in middle school, I would get crap from peers of having two teams. And especially when the Giants were very successful in the early 2010s, it was, oh, you're a Giants fan now. So I would say that those are the two teams I was closest to as a child.
Fantastic. Well, one of the best things that you do is document historical moments and achievements and kind of the statistical anomalies around baseball. And the Giants had one of the most interesting ones in the month of April, and that was catcher Kurt Casale. 5 consecutive starts that he made that ended in shutouts for the Giants. How rare was something like that for Casale to achieve that feat as the backup catcher for a team that has Buster Posey, and he's the one making history?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, how much fun was that to watch? So, as you said, the 5 straight shutouts, that's tied for the second longest streak in the modern era for any catcher. And the only one to have 6 straight, I think, was in 1903. But the really cool thing about what Kurt Casale did, and I think it really speaks to this current Giants team as it's constructed, and also baseball in 2021 in general, is that he was the only guy to do that with 5 different starting pitchers. And I thought that was really interesting. And obviously, it wasn't just one turn through the rotation, as you mentioned, backup catcher. So, you know, there were some other games interspersed between. But it was really, really awesome to see that. And I mean, that game, he almost had 6 straight. I believe it was a 9th inning home run from Jesus Aguilar against the Marlins that kept him from 6 straight, which would have tied the record.
Yeah, the Giants' previous record was held by Broadway Alex Smith back in 1903, and Christy Mathewson was the starting pitcher in all those games, so you put it in great perspective there with Casale doing what he did. And so I want to ask you, because this is a subject that I get a lot of tweets about and a lot of emails from readers, at what point should they be concerned about the Giants' low batting average and the Giants' low slugging percentage? And I want to ask you, because it seems like this is a trend around Major League Baseball. Just about every fan base is concerned about their team's batting average at this point in the season, even if there are better statistics to measure overall success at the plate.
Absolutely. I mean, as you said, every team, I think, and every fan base is probably concerned about where batting average is. And as you said, yeah, we definitely have better stats now to, you know, assess exactly how a team is doing. But batting average still exists, and it's certainly a worthy measure of how frequently you're actually getting a hit. But you know, we are seeing league-wide low batting averages, basically everything, at least in the batting side, not so much with the slugging. is the lowest since 1968, which was the year of the pitcher, led to the mound being lowered and was really a low for offense as a whole within this modern era that we think of, or at least in the live ball era, which is since 1920. But I think with the Giants, it's certainly a concern. You know, I mean, following the Giants, and any Giants fan, I think, who has watched them, especially over these last 10 to 15 years, post Barry Bonds, knows that offense has not necessarily always been the strong point of these teams, but there has been really good pitching in those positive years in 2010, 2012, 2014, even 2016, that was able to carry the team. And it does seem like this pitching staff, at least to this point, has that kind of aura to it, where they've been good and they've been able to help this team win, you know, games 1-0, 2-1. Obviously, that's not what you want to be relying on. It's good to be able to have those games where you can jump all over your opponent and win 10-0 or 10-5 instead. But I would say that the offense is indicative of what's going on around the league. Though I would be curious if the Giants are in this spot come July, if there could be some sort of trade that could be orchestrated. Guys like Chris Bryant's name certainly coming up. Honestly, anybody on the Cubs right now with the way that they're playing. Anthony Rizzo also in a contract year. So you have to wonder whether there might be a move to be made. But it is worth putting in broader context that this is happening everywhere.
I think that moves are already on the Giants fans' radar, especially knowing how difficult and challenging this National League West race is going to be. The Dodgers aren't going to keep losing forever, but one more Giants question before we look around the rest of the league, Sarah, and it's about Buster Posey. 359 batting average, 1.110 OPS right now. In the month of April, any guys jump out to you as better comeback player of the year candidates than what Buster has done so far?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this has just been so much fun to watch. I certainly think that he's right towards the top of the list, at least in the National League. You know, the American League has two very worthy candidates in Eduardo Rodriguez and Trey Mancini, but Buster seems to really be towing the line there for the National League, especially in terms of comeback player. It's been really cool to see this offense, and we're talking about the offense, and it certainly hasn't been for lack of offense from him, because he's just crushing the ball. I mean, something that I'm frequently looking at is our StatCast statistics, and we have metrics on how, you know, exit velocity, how hard a guy is hitting the ball, how frequently he's hitting the ball. Hard hit is 95 plus mile an hour exit velocity, and all of his hard hit metrics, all of his contact metrics are pretty much on pace to be his best since StatCast started tracking, which was in 2015. And I don't think that's something that anyone expected from him this year at this age, coming off a season that he skipped. And after that, you know, there was an injury before that. But to me, that just indicates that he is really healthy again for the first time in a while at this point. And it's been really great to watch. I mean, I think every time he homers, I go look, and it's always his fewest games to reach that many home runs in any season of his career. And we're talking about a guy who was an MVP, who was a rookie of the year, and has had some really great offensive seasons. And this is just like an amazing resurgence.
And we're also talking about a guy who rarely plays day games after night games. I mean, he only plays about 2/3 of the Giants games. So it's even more remarkable when you consider that he's not on the field every day. We're chatting Giants baseball and Major League Baseball with Sarah Lang. She's a great follow on Twitter at Slangs on Sports. Some of the best numbers, best stats, best everything about the game on her Twitter account. And Sarah, I want to ask you about the Dodgers right now, because this is a team that everyone expected to just run away with the National League West. 100 wins was never in doubt. And now they've lost something like 9 of 12, just a stunning loss on Saturday night after they held a 5-3 lead in the 11th inning against the Milwaukee Brewers. What's happening in LA?
It's a great question. I mean, I think everybody would have told you entering the season on paper, this is the best team. I think that most people expected this to be maybe their best showing yet in this streak that they've had of division titles and just overall dominance, obviously finally winning the World Series last year. But, you know, talk about teams that are not hitting. I mean, the guys that they should be relying on really aren't. Max Muncy's having a really weird year at the plate where he's walking all the time, but he's just not swinging. And so he's not getting any hits. And obviously walks can be helpful, but you also need to be making some contact there for your team. Corey Seager, who was the NLCS and World Series MVP, is hitting the ball pretty hard, but not having great results. And the only guy who's really hitting for them is Justin Turner, who's 36 years old at this point. But I think the most concerning thing for them, and specifically out of last night, was Dustin May's injury, which did not sound good. He left in, I think it was the second inning, with an arm injury. And I believe that the way it was described postgame was a shooting pain down his arm, which is not something you want to hear from any athlete, but certainly not a guy who throws 98-mile-an-hour sinkers. So, you know, their pitching overall has been pretty good. Trevor Bauer, Clayton Kershaw is having, you know, talk about guys who are having a renaissance right now. But the hitting just hasn't been there. And if you just look at the games that they've lost, a lot of them, as you made reference to with last night as well, have been winnable. I mean, they're not necessarily getting blown out. They're in these games, but they're not able to get that final run across. And we saw it in those Padres series, both of them so far. Obviously, they swept the first one, but those games were all close. And then that came to bite them in the next series when they lost 3-4.
Yeah, that Padres six-run comeback on Sunday Night Baseball, that is one that I will remember all season long. But one more for you here, Sarah, before we let you go. The Brewers in the NL Central, we just mentioned them, off to a 17-10 start, doing it without Christian Yelich. The NL East, everyone thought it was going to be so deep, and yet through the month of April and into May now, there's not a single team that's above 500. What's going on in those two divisions, and what's caught your eye in each of them so far?
Well, it's been great to see the Brewers, because I think, I mean, that was the team I picked to win this division, and I certainly like to see that bear out, at least early on. I think that the Brewers were pretty underhyped entering the year. Their pitching has been really good. No one expected what Corbin Burnes has done, necessarily. He still hasn't walked anybody, but he has 49 strikeouts and no walks, but their pitching has been good. Brandon Woodruff is good, and I think that there are a lot of guys with a lot of high potential there, and that's really happened. But it's incredible. I mean, every night I see the injury updates on Christian Yelich, and the fact that they're doing this without him, it's certainly not what anybody expected. I think that people tend to expect the Cardinals to be good because the Cardinals always manage to be there, but I do think that there is a talent difference there between them and the Brewers, and so it's been good to see that play out so far. Obviously, I think the thing that stands out to a lot of people in the Central is probably the Cubs. I did not expect them to be very good, but I think that everybody was sort of hoping for maybe one last hurrah from their World Series group, what's left of it, before a lot of those guys become free agents after the year. But they have not been good, so that's not great to see. And you do wonder, I keep thinking about the trade deadline with them. But the NL East is just confounding. I mean, as you said, I think a lot of people thought this might be the best overall division. I think Padres-Dodgers was expected to be the best race, two-team race. But I think a lot of people saw maybe a three-team race with the Mets and the Braves and the Phillies or the Nationals, maybe a four-team race, whatever you want to say, in the NL East. And none of these teams have been very good. I mean, the Mets are not hitting at all. They scored four runs in the first yesterday, and the postgame comments were, wow, that felt so good. And sure, four runs in the first is more than they had scored recently, but that's not necessarily something to write home about otherwise. And the Phillies, I mean, it's just, you know, the Nationals are playing without Juan Soto. There's just a lot going wrong for these teams kind of all at once. But it's not just the fact that they're all below 500, as you made reference to, but the only team in this division with a positive run differential is the Marlins, who Giants fans saw recently with the two series just like in back-to-back weekends against them. And the Marlins are not very good, and they have a +6 run differential, and somehow that is the best in the NL East. And I do think that the Mets will start hitting. They have a lot of hitters like Michael Conforto, who won the game for them yesterday, who are pretty streaky. But you do have to wonder about just, you know, all of the hype and where it's actually going to end up in that division.
Well, fantastic stuff, a fantastic national perspective. Sarah Langs, she does a great job, as I mentioned. Follow her on Twitter at Slangs on Sports. Happy birthday, Sarah. Go enjoy it. Thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Carrie. Really appreciate it.
All right. You can catch her on MLB Network. She's on all sorts of different podcasts, making appearances, talking about baseball. Great stuff. More coming up next on our Giants pregame show. You're listening to Talkin' Baseball, KBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.